Happy to be here with you this morning, everybody. Happy to dig in the Word. Let's just pray over what we're about to read. Father, we come before you. We thank you for the opportunity to spend a Sunday morning as a body, Lord. We just pray over your Word right now, Lord, that my words would fall away and that your Holy Spirit would just move in this place, Lord, in this parking lot, that you just bless us with your presence, Lord. Bless us with your Word and help us be singularly focused on what you have for us this morning. We ask this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So how many know that God's will is perfect? It seems strange in a time like right now to say that, but his will is perfect. And we have quite a bit going on in our community, obviously, which I think we've all talked about. But I think a lot of things that have been resonating with me and my wife has been, it's a lot of those things are starting to have an impact on us personally. When you look at the COVID thing, it's basically to the point now where, you know, schools are being delayed, and I think there's a lot of, you know, there's folks here that are on school committees in local towns. The decisions are being made that have real impacts on families. And we're, you know, I'm sure there's been plenty of marital conversations and stress about what to do. And I think sometimes, I know for me and my wife, we forget that God's will is perfect. We're in the perfect spot that he has us in right now for this time. And hopefully we can just dig into this briefly this morning. And as I was reminded the past couple weeks, hopefully I can help remind you what the Holy Spirit's doing. So we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 46. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 10. The bell bows down, Nebu stoops. Their idols were on beasts and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth and who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, and I will even carry and deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and they weigh silver on scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves, yes, they worship. Prostrate meaning they bow down face first. I think of Rack Shack and Benny and VeggieTales when they were bowing to the idol. They bear it on the shoulder, they carry it, and they set it in its place, and it stands. From its place it shall not move. The one who cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. And I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So if it's been a while since you've read Isaiah, I encourage you to go back in. I'm going to give you a couple little fun facts. It's really not even that relevant to the message this morning, but I think they're good little tidbits and maybe encourage you to go back and read it. So it's obviously the first of the major prophets, and I didn't realize how highly it's regarded, not only folks of the faith, but also in the secular world, just for its poetic nature. It's really a beautifully written book. The other fun fact is it makes up 27 of the 37 quotations from the Pauline epistles. So if you just think about, you know, what Paul was doing during that time, he reflected, I'm not great at math, but I think that's somewhere around 70% of the time he was quoting the Old Testament, it was from Isaiah. So obviously a really well-respected book, and I'd go back and read it if you haven't in a while. But what I want to get into this morning is just how dead the idols that the Israelites were carrying and not looking towards the living God. So I did a little bit of research. Bel, most scholars attribute Bel to the most powerful god of the Babylonian pantheon, which is Marduk. So Marduk was kind of the god of all the gods, and Nebu was the god of wisdom. So just picture this in the first couple chapters. It's so perfectly written. a burden to the weary beast. So I just picture myself carrying around my idols all the time, being a weight on my back. It's pretty sobering to think about when you are looking to push forward in your life, to seek God, you're supposed to leave everything behind you. But here, they're carrying as they're, you know, as you get this image of God's chosen people walking away, they were carrying the gold to make these idols. It reminds me, if you go back to Exodus chapter 34, so this is the second time that Moses is now coming down from Mount Sinai, and God writes again on the tablets. He says, "But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down the wooden images. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord God, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." And so we all know this. We all know this about our Savior. He wants our total and complete worship to him. It's not an ask, it's a must. We must every single day renew our mind to be seeking after him. And so as I was thinking about my wife and I talking about what we're going to do for school for the children, it just kept coming back to this for me. I'm in the perfect place. God's will is perfect. If I truly believe that, then the decision that we prayerfully make will be the right decision, and God will make it perfect. His plan is perfect. And it's easy to say that. It's easy for me to say that up here, you know, talking to the congregation or if we chat after service. But my challenge to everybody is, are we living that? Are we doing that? Are we leaving our idols behind? Are we trusting what God's plan is? I know I don't often. So verse 3 and 4, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel who have been upheld from me from birth, who have been carried from the womb." It's an awesome image, right? "Even your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you from cradle to grave." If you are God's child, he is going to carry you. There's no better promise to be made. "I have made and I will bear, and I will even carry and I will deliver you." It's perfect, right? It's absolutely perfect. So much effort from our end goes into making idols, whatever our Bel or Nebu is. So much of our time, our worry, you know, where we focus our attention. And God's just sitting there waiting for us, like he always does, patiently pointing us in the right direction. I can't imagine a more perfect plan at 34 years old than where God has me. I have a beautiful wife who loves the Lord. I have 4 beautiful children who are mostly behaved. I got to spend the past week with my extended family on a family vacation. We literally just hung out by the pond and swam and enjoyed each other's time. My life is pretty fantastic with where God has me. And I say that right now, but I think like many of you, if you ask me on a Tuesday afternoon when I'm in between 2 meetings and I'm working from home and the kids are storming in the room and I'm yelling at them to get out, I lose that perspective. I lose the perspective of where Christ has brought me. I lose the perspective of the providence of God and being in the community that I'm in, where my children can get well educated. We can come to church and freely worship. I lose that perspective all the time. And so although life is challenging, right? We've talked about it ad nauseum. 2020 is, you know, the worst year of most of everybody's lives, at least from a public persona, right? I'd say God still has a perfect plan. And I would say that we need to be worshiping him in our homes so those around us who don't know Christ can see that, can see the joy of the Holy Spirit in our lives, even through these times. And I don't say that in a way to say that we shouldn't be proactively trying to make the community better or reaching out, because obviously that's a very tenet of being a believer. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But my point is that it's still God's perfect plan. This is still where we're supposed to be. Verse 5, to whom you liken me and make me equal and compare me, that we should be alike. The lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. So not only are we making our own gods, but we also sub it out. We subcontract to other people to build our idols for us, right? We look to other things instead of Christ. What is it that you're making an idol out of, right? What is it that you're subcontracting out to worry about? Worry is obviously a very natural thing. But in Christ, you have to trust when you make a decision prayerfully, that's where he wants you to be. And so I'll go back to the school thing for us. We lived in a town where we didn't really want to send the kids to public school, so we homeschooled them for a long time. And then we moved to a quote-unquote better school system. And there were still challenges. They're still not worshiping God in a public school, obviously. And there's things that we disagree with. But we prayerfully considered it and decided that's where we were going to send our children. And by the grace of God, a lot of fantastic things have come from that. And right now, we're prayerfully thinking about, again, what are we going to do? Are we going to homeschool our children again? Are we going to send them to school? What about my work, my job? It's been challenging. I work from home now. It's different. It's not really, as much as my wife loves me, she'd rather me out of the house for 45 hours a week. And so many things seem to be coming to a head right now. So many decisions to be made. And it gets stressful, right? It brings nagging and disagreements between you and your spouse. You know, maybe if it's not for school, it's a job. Maybe it's not for job. It's just your general place of where you are. Or I've had so many conversations with people wanting to move to different states or different areas of the country. I'm not encouraging you to do that or not to do that. What I am encouraging you is realizing that God's will is perfect. And if you're in prayerfully seeking after him, he will point you in the right direction. He will point you to where he wants you to be. Make no mistake that you're here where you are for a reason. The end of this first text, I don't think I got to it yet. Yeah, it says they prostrate themselves, yes, they worship. So I mentioned when I read it, but for those that watched VeggieTales growing up or had their children watch it, Rackshack and Benny were there, and they everybody else was face down worshiping the idol, and they were the only ones that didn't, right? And we know how that story goes. So challenge everybody. You know, make sure that you're not face down to idols. You're in your prayer closet and face down to the one and only Savior, right? That's the only place that should happen. And it doesn't have to obviously mean physically. I mean, just what are you doing? You know, where is your time and energy focused? The social injustice that's going on right now, there's a lot to be said about it, and there's a lot of very fair points made. But let's not lose track of why we are here. We're not here for those reasons, secular reasons of making people feel better. We're here to bring the good news of the gospel to every race, creed, and color, right? It doesn't matter where they come from, where their background is, or what their situation is. We have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what's most powerful. And yes, obviously, as you're a Christian and you love the Lord, you're going to serve and take care of those in the community and take care of those in need. And we should continue to do that. But don't lose sight. It's not for a good feeling. It's not to make them feel good or you feel good. It's to bring the gospel, the good news to them. God's very clear in what he's saying here. Leave those things behind. Shake them off. It's really, you know, the worshiping an idol is the exact opposite of who God created us to be. He wants us to respond in his will to what he has planned for us. His absolutely perfect plan. Job 42, verse 1 and 2 says, "Then Job answered to the Lord." So this is the last chapter of Job. So we know, obviously, the story all too well. You know, obviously, Job went through seemingly the most difficult time. It pales, anything that we're going through now pretty much pales in comparison to what Job went through. In the last chapter, Job answered the Lord, verse 1 and 2, chapter 42, and said, "I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. No purpose of God's will be withheld from him. His plan is perfect." I know I keep saying it, but it's just, it's reality. There's nothing that can be withheld from him. His plan is what's happening right now. He's ordained this moment, this very moment that we're in, to be here. He's ordained you to have the neighbors you have that you don't get along with. He's ordained you to be in the community or to, you know, to be at that family party that you don't want to be at. Keep that perspective. And it obviously gets much deeper than that, right? He's ordained the health issues that I've seen this church go through, my previous church. There's things that I can't even fathom going through, cancers and sicknesses and heart problems and just so many, you know, so many issues. God ordained that for his perfect plan. It's super easy for me to stand up here having none of those afflictions. But I have to realize that it's the truth. And I hope that I keep this perspective through all facets of my life, wherever I am, in whatever season God has me in. It's a serious thing to say, but it's the truth. And, you know, I'll say it here, and I'm sure, hopefully, some of my friends here will remind me when I'm complaining about something, and we're hanging out in 3 to 6 months. We'll be like, "Remember the time you taught? You said it's God's perfect plan." And I'll probably roll my eyes. But that's the reality, right? That's the truth. And that's what God's word teaches us. I mean, Job, if anybody knows, it's Job. Nothing will be held from God's perfect plan. Before the foundation of the earth, he knew that you'd be here. He knew that you'd be in the situation you're in. And he's just asking you to call out to him prayerfully for answers. I'll go back to the top of verse 7. I think I started it. "But they bear it on their shoulder. They carry it and set it in its place, and it stands. From its place it shall not move. The one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer nor save him out of his troubles. Remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors." Keep God's promises close to your heart. Don't forget what he's done, right? So we're talking about God's perfect plan, and now I'm telling you to remember them. No matter how many times I mess things up, I get to reestablish my footing on God's perfect promises. And he's calling you right here. Remember that. Show yourselves men. What that means is to show yourself true, not because of anything you're capable of doing, but by reestablishing yourself back on Christ's footing, where he has you. I really have a tough time sometimes with the place that I've been at work. I have a job that I'm very thankful to have. But sometimes I get frustrated because I came from a very small company where I was able to, I'm sure we've all been in these situations professionally, where I was able to do and have a lot of flexibility, and I had a team, and I'm in recruitment, so we could create new plans on how to go find new people, and I could spend money. My budget was limitless, and it was a really fun job. We got bought by a $10 billion publicly held company. I can't buy printer paper without 6 approvals anymore. It's not nearly as fun. It's not a fun environment. It's very structured. I have to put PowerPoint presentations together every week of my life, and I find them so boring. I'd much rather just be able to talk and shoot from the hip because I lie to myself and tell me that I'm good at it. And And it hasn't been fun. And I've been grouchy at times with my wife. I've complained to her that I want to move. I want to go find a new job. And I took a step back and really thought about it. I'm in a position personally that allows me to work from home right now, that's kept me employed through a very difficult economic time, that's kept food on the table, that's paid the mortgage. That's really not that bad of a job. It's really, quite honestly, it's a great job. I've gotten to know my new boss. He's a very good guy, and he's taught me a lot, and I've learned a lot professionally. And so it took me probably 6 months to realize that. And so I just challenge you, think about what's in your life. And now if you had asked me this a few months ago, I wouldn't even have been able to articulate what my problems were or where I was in my head. But prayerfully, I realize now that the Lord has me where he has me for a reason. And I don't know exactly why, but I know that I'm supposed to be here. And I know I'm called for his purpose. Despite my best efforts to mess things up before the foundations of the earth, God called me for his purpose. And so I encourage you, think about that. What is it that the purpose that God's called me for? And it's not going to be perfectly clear. But his plan is there in front of you, and I encourage you, seek after it. Verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there's none like me. Just further establishing, there's no idols. And it's easier for us, obviously, now to know that we're not worshiping idols. Unfortunately, the country we live in is becoming more and more secular. There aren't really many other false religions. If you just look at statistics, people are just falling away from Christ and away from faith and religion in general. They're not heading towards others, as when this was written. So we have to remember, what are we making our idols? What are we propping up in our lives? Verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God's advice is there in front of us. It will stand. It will be forever true, forever correct. There's never going to be a time, right? It sounds so silly, but think about it in your life, really. Do you practice this? I know you know this, but do you really trust in the Lord every single time something comes up? Do you bring it faithfully to your prayer closet? Do you ask him for his guidance, for his will, for his perfect plan? Yeah, I don't. I know I don't all the time. It takes me months. There's things that take years for me to realize. And I'm sure if we talk to old members of church here, if we ask PD, if we ask Pastor Lauren, if we ask some of the elders and folks that have been with the Lord for 40, 50 years. Lauren, sorry, I know you're not that old. But if we ask them, and I have, and I've had conversations with them, and the central theme that every single man and woman of the Lord goes back to is trusting and putting your faith in him. And sometimes that can seem not very tangible. But I think the Lord's encouraging us to make it tangible. You have to be in prayer. You have to be in the Word. You have to be in communion with God. That's when it becomes tangible. That's when you can grab onto your faith and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is there for you, for your spouse, for your children. A cool quote from the Westminster Confession of Faith. It really struck me this week. God from all eternity did by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will freely and unchangeably ordain whatever comes to pass. So by his most wise and holy counsel, there's nobody more wise than our Savior. There's nobody to seek, you know, no better person to seek counsel than with God the Father. And of his own free will, He ordains everything that happens. Every situation that we're in, God ordained it. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to react the right way. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to react the right way or I'm not going to sin. But God has a perfect plan for that. God has a perfect plan for that moment, a perfect plan for that time. So I just want to encourage everybody, including as my wife and I are trying to encourage each other, to start meditating on that daily. Start thinking about what God's perfect will is. I don't think I ever will know until I'm before my Savior what his perfect will was, right? But isn't that the voyage of the Christian faith that we're in? Isn't that the voyage of seeking the Lord? At bare minimum, what you know that your non-believing friends know is you have a line of sight of where you're headed. You're looking to honor God. And when you don't have a Savior, when you don't have God the Father and Christ to look after, the Holy Scriptures and prayer to seek after, that's why folks are spread so thin and they're trying to do so many things and they're trying to achieve X amount at work and to achieve X amount with their children and to achieve this with athletics and to achieve this with an education and where they're going. And all those things are great things in due time and in God's perfect plan. I come from a background where I wasn't driven or pushed very often as a child growing up. I pushed my children to be successful, to do well in school, to be respectful. And those are all great things. But so often those overtake what we should be focused on as parents. Encourage them to be in prayer, to teach them what prayer is all about, to teach them about reading the Word of God and how to dig through verse by verse and understand it. And it's not an easy task, but that's what I'm called to do as a father in my home, what my wife's called to do in her mother in her home. I'm called to do the same thing as I'm called to witness to those around us. And for me personally, when I say witness, I don't mean you need to, not that you can't hand out tracts or do those kind of things. Those are great things, and in certain times you can. But I'm supposed to be living a Christ-centered life. I'm supposed to be a witness to those around us. Am I doing that? And the good news is every time you can look back and say, God's will is perfect, mine isn't. I need to recommit today in prayer and in reading and understand what he has for me and what his perfect plan is. And so I encourage the body to do that as we're taking a pretty crazy journey through 2020. Just remember, you're in the perfect plan. You're where you're supposed to be. Christ has you where he needs you. Take ownership of that situation. Take ownership of where you're supposed to be and go out, spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Hopefully we'll have more cars here and PD will have to get a second parking lot. Maybe we'll take down some trees and there'll be more people here. So let's just pray. The one thing, actually, the worship team's going to come up. We also have the food truck. I completely forget what kind of food truck was it?
I'll tell them. Have you pray and I'll talk.
All right, deal. Father, we come before you. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord. We thank you for just your perfect will, Lord, and your perfect plan. I just pray for us as a body. We just pray for the leadership of this church, Lord, that we continue to seek after you, honor you in what we're doing. We just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.